I'll say amen to that too. Thank you, choir. That was wonderful. What a blessing to be here this morning and to be able to share this time together. We appreciate the choir and all the work that they've done over these months in making preparation for us this morning to be able to come together and to be reminded of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Also His crucifixion. We're reminded not just on Easter Sunday, but all through the year, hopefully, that crucifixion results in death and resurrection results in life. I want to just share a few verses with you this morning in the time that we have left from Romans chapter 6, because I was thinking with all the joys of Easter, the beautiful day that God has given to us, I can't think much of a better weather-wise day for Easter. But to be able to not only have the good feelings of the weather and the beauty of the music and the power of the words, the sense of being together freely, all of those things are so wonderful. But then we come down to that point of saying, well, what difference does this really make to me? Beyond just sitting here this morning and enjoying all the beauty that we have together, what difference does it really make to me in my life? When I leave this place, what difference is it going to make? And Paul gives us a beautiful picture of that here in Romans chapter 6. Many places throughout the Scripture we find this, but just wanted to read actually the first 14 verses together, and then I just want to make a few points about that. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, he begins with a question. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many as of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died unto sin once for all. But the life that He lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of righteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. I want you just to remember two words this morning particularly. And both of them end with the suffix ness, N-E-S-S. That suffix takes an adjective and it brings it into a noun and gives us the quality or the state of this adjective. So the two words that I want you to remember are this. First of all, oneness. We'll say it together on three. One, two, three. Very good. The other word is newness. Let's say that on three. One, two, three. Newness. Oneness and newness. Very quickly, we want to start out with this idea of oneness. We don't see the actual word in the passage that we read, but we do have a couple of prepositions. You think this is a grammar lesson, don't you? I'm talking about adjectives and nouns and prepositions. It's not. We have a couple of prepositions, into and with. And these two prepositions give us that thought of unity, of oneness. There in verse 3, we have this thought of being baptized into Christ Jesus, into His death. In verse 4, buried with Him. In verse 5, united together. Verse 6, crucified with Him. Verse 8, died with Christ and live with Him. And there in verse 11 at the end, in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, the emphasis that Paul is making by the Spirit of God here is that there is a unity, there is a oneness that God desires for us as His human creations. He created us that we might have relationship with Him, that we might not only have a relationship with Him, but we actually might be in Him. In Him. And we're to be in Christ Jesus our Lord and dying with the Lord Jesus and rising with the Lord Jesus and being alive with the Lord Jesus. We're talking about a relationship between the God of the universe and you. And you. And me. And that's God's desire for all of us, that that relationship would be there, that there would be that identification with God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in His death, in His burial, and in His resurrection. You see, when we have that identification with Him, we receive the benefits of what He did. Some of you are studying in high school or college, even right now. Our daughter Anna is in her last semester. And she shared with us about doing group projects. Have you ever done a group project? Same thing may be true of work or even in athletics or hobbies. But she's in this group, and they have to do a presentation to present to the whole class. And so they come up finally after doing the work, and sometimes you go to the presentation knowing that nobody else has done anything. Sometimes you go in knowing that you have not done anything. But let's imagine for a moment that you're the one that did all the work. And you go in and you make the presentation, and then the professor gives you the grade. It's an A. And you know that those other three members of your group didn't earn an A. No, you earned an A++++, and they didn't deserve anything. But because they're identified with you in that group, they get the A just like you do. You know what? The Lord Jesus did that for us. You see, He came and He died on the cross. He was crucified. He was the one that suffered, as the choir and the narrator shared with us this morning. He's the one that went through that suffering. He's the one that experienced not only the pain of physical agony and death, but spiritual death, separated from His Father. Why? Because He was made sin for us. We were being identified with Him in His death. He was dying for us. And then He was buried, and Paul says, in that burial, those of us who were in Christ Jesus, we were buried with Him. We were in that grave, spiritually speaking. And then when He burst forth to life, glorious life, we read that He was raised again by the glory of the Father. Guess what? Those of us who were in Christ, we were raised too. You see, we get all the blessings, all the benefits of what He did. We didn't do anything except mess it up. We didn't do anything except break the relationship through our own sin. But the Lord Jesus did everything that was required for us to have a true and eternal relationship with God. You see, oneness is being in Christ Jesus. We'll come back to that in just a moment, but our other word was newness, and we do find that in our passage. The actual word there at the end of verse 4, we read in verse 4 that just as Christ was raised from the dead, that's what we're celebrating particularly today, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. A new life. And not just a new life, but a new quality of life. And that walking is that lifestyle, that living. So the word new in the New Testament, in the Greek language, there were two main words that are translated new. One of those words emphasizes the time aspect. And sometimes it's translated younger, because it's really emphasizing the time aspect. But here, the word that we have put together with this suffix to make our word newness, this emphasizes the quality, really the contrast. It emphasizes the contrast between the new and the old. And that's what he's saying here, that we have been raised with the Lord Jesus Christ that we might live a different life, a new life. And the thing that struck me as I read through this passage and meditated on this passage and studied this passage was that the new life, the newness of life, is a life where sin does not reign. The choir closed this morning with, "Hallelujah, He reigns." He reigns. And you know what? Either He's reigning in your life or sin is reigning in your life. That old nature that we are in Adam, all of us, wherever we're from, whatever we look like, whatever we sound like, every one of us can trace. We might not be able to trace it back, but we know that our lineage goes back to Adam. All of us. And we all have inherited that sin nature from Him. And that is the natural way that we live. And I look at you this morning and you may be saying, "You don't know me. Because I don't live like that. I've never lived like that. You're not going to find my poster in the post office because I've broken some law." But you know what? God looks at the heart, doesn't He? And He sees what we really are. And He said, "You know, I've got a new way for you to live, but you can't live like that on your own. You see, you're dead in sin." And He says, "What I want you to be is not dead in sin. I want you to be dead to sin." But we'll never be dead to sin in our own strength. I can never be strong enough. I can never have enough willpower. I can never have enough, "I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it this time." I'll never do that. I'll never do that. I don't have it within me. You see, I'm like Adam, my forefather, who had the opportunity to do right and he chose to do wrong. And that's what I have done. And in myself, that's what I will continue to choose to do in my old person. But Paul tells me here, by the Holy Spirit of God leading him to write that, is that I can, in verse 11, reckon myself to be dead to sin. Now, this isn't mind over matter. This isn't saying I'm going to convince myself that I'm really dead to sin. No, the reason that I can know I'm dead to sin is because in that same verse, it says I'm alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, this oneness with Christ, this oneness must precede the newness. And I can live an outwardly moral life, and you can think that I'm a good person, and you might even call me religious and moral, and you might say his life is better than some other people, or maybe most other people. But you know what? I can do it on the outside, but God's looking on the inside. And He wants me to have victory over sin in my mind and in my heart, as well as the outward manifestation of that. Now, we want a newness in all of those areas of life, but it will only come if I have truly been crucified with Christ. Thank you for being here this morning. And as you're here this morning, I want to share with you as I close that the gospel is for you. The gospel is for me. The gospel is for them. The gospel is for all of us. If you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never recognized that you are a sinner, and that you have said, thought, and done things that have displeased God, if you've never come to that point of knowing you're a sinner, then you surely don't see any need to walk in newness of life, because the oldness of life is just fine in your mind. But once the Spirit of God convicts you that I'm a sinner, I'm guilty before God, and I deserve to be punished by God for all eternity in hell, that's what the Bible tells us. And I believe that because God said that. And He has revealed my wickedness to me. But I believe that there is one who came and never sinned, and that's the Lord Jesus. That's the one whose resurrection we celebrate today. That's the one who went to the cross of Calvary, and God allowed Him to go because He had never sinned. You see, He was dying a criminal's death. He was being condemned. He was being sentenced. And that was the condemnation, capital punishment of that day. A painful death. God allowed that to happen, not because he had sinned, but because he had not sinned. Because he was going to be made sin for us. And the only one who could take our place is one who would never sin, and that's the Lord Jesus. And that's the reason that he was raised again to new life, because God the Father accepted that sacrifice. And he put his stamp of approval upon it by raising him from the dead. And now he says, if you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. You will be forgiven. You will be in Christ Jesus. And you will be raised to walk in newness of life. If you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we'd encourage you to do it right this moment. Trust the Lord Jesus as the one who died for your sins and rose again. In your heart, cry out to God, forgive me of my sins. I believe on the Lord Jesus as my Savior. But you know what? Even for those of us who have believed on the Lord Jesus in the past, you know, we still need that gospel good news, don't we? You know, there are levels of wickedness, we might say. And you know what? There are levels of maturity in walking in newness of life. And I'm so thankful that as I think of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, I know that I have been raised with Him to walk in newness of life, a new quality of life that should even be newer than it was yesterday. Because you know there are still areas in my life where I struggle with sin. And sin is not to reign in me, we read. Sin is not to have dominion over the believer. And therefore, you see, the gospel is for me too. And I need to trust the Lord that He will give me that victory, because it's not in me. No, it's not in me. It's only in Him. And as I present myself to God as being alive from the dead and my members as instruments of righteousness to God, my old man's been crucified. The body of sin has been done away with. It's lost its power. And just like our military dropped that Moab bomb, and it had the purpose of going into that area of the enemy and reaching those areas that we cannot reach otherwise, and to render inoperative the ability that those military personnel had against us. And God said, I've done the same thing to that old person in you. By the resurrection, I have enabled you to have that victory. I have rendered inoperative that old man within you. But you see, I've got to present myself to him. Because that old man still wants to keep fighting. Just like ISIS doesn't want to give up just because a Moab bomb hit it. Neither does that old person within me want to give up. But God says, you present yourself to me as a believer. So those of you who may be here this morning that have never believed on the Lord Jesus, I encourage you to do that right now. I'd love to talk with you afterwards more about that. Those of us who know Christ Jesus as Savior, may we realize that we too need the truth of the resurrection, not only to have a good feeling, but that we might live that life that honors Him. You can't do it, and I can't do it. It's only as the life of the Lord Jesus is lived through me that I will truly walk in newness of life. We can yield ourselves to Him. Let's pray. Father, we pray this morning thanking you so much for everyone who's come out today. Father, it thrills my heart to look behind me and to look ahead of me and see all these people that you've brought out here to be together, to hear the choir and to meditate for a few moments on the Scripture. The Father, we just pray that you will do your work. We are weak, and yet you're strong. To humanity, the crucifixion was weakness, but you tell us in your Word that Christ crucified is the power of God. And Father, we thank you for that. May that power be evident in our lives. May we make an impact in our community, in this world, as the Lord Jesus lives His life through us. We thank you that it's by grace that we're saved through faith and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. Thank you so much for your grace, for your love, for the resurrection of your precious Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. We'd love to talk with you. Happy Easter, and may the Lord work in your life. Walk in newness of life.